Amen. If I could ask you to just pray for, before we can leave, we got to have negative PCR tests. And so if you can pray that that comes through, that would be a blessing. Say, what are PCR tests? Those are the COVID tests that touch the cerebral core of your brain. It goes all the way back in. And so looking forward to that. But so if you can just pray about that, that would be a blessing. Again, pray for our young people. Our young people are scheduled to teach and do activities, and we're just excited for them about that. Open your Bibles up to 2 Samuel chapter number 23 tonight. Second Samuel 23, we're pretty much at the end of David's life. I can imagine, as we see so many patriarchs through the Bible, when they get on in life and they kind of see that day approaching, they'll maybe make some last words. I know David said some things to his son Solomon, give some instruction. And that's kind of what we're going to see here. He's kind of reminiscing a little bit. And anybody ever reminisce, kind of like in your mind replay some events? And that's kind of what David does, but I think it'll be a help, encouragement to us here tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. God, I look forward to that day when we will be face to face. And God, there will be no more sin, there will be no more hurt, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more temptation. God, thank you. Look forward to that. God, what a day that will be. Until then, Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, thank you that you would even consider using us. And God, thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve you in any way. Lord, I pray you'd use the message here tonight to encourage us, strengthen us. And Lord, you know what we need. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 1992. How many of you were alive in 1992? Anybody? All right, some of you raised your hands. This was the... Am I on? Are we good back there, Joe? All right, good. This was the first American Olympic team made of all NBA players. How many of you remember that? The Dream Team, what we call the greatest sports team ever. I will give you their names. David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Larry Bird, Scottie Pippen, the greatest basketball player that has ever played the game, Michael Jordan. Just in case anyone's wondering. Clyde Drexler, Karl Malone, the mailman. I mean, come on. John Stockton, Charles Barkley, Chris Mullin, Magic Johnson. They beat the other teams by an average of 44 points. See, that's not fair. That's why they were the greatest team in Olympic history. In 2 Samuel, I feel like we're kind of reading like that. 2 Samuel chapter number 23, starting verse 1. Now these... Kind of sounds funny when you read it. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high and anointed of the God of Jacob." David was something special, yes? Look how it describes him. "And the sweet psalmist of Israel." How have you ever been ministered to through the book of Psalms, right? Turn over there and you find something similar to what you're going through in your life. It always seems the book of Psalms, David always went through much more of an extreme case, but somewhat identify, and you find a psalm kind of where you're at in life, and his comforting words help you along. Here, psalmist, the sweet psalmist, the King David, who God said that he was a man after his own heart, who said that his throne would be established forever because Christ would fulfill his throne, has some words to say. He's at the end of his life, and he's recalling some men that had been a help to him along the way. Not just their names, but he tells us a little bit of their story. This is what movies are made from. I'm telling you, this stuff is awesome in here. It helped David complete his calling. They are stories of glory. 2 Samuel chapter number 23, we'll talk of five of them tonight. These are what we would deemed David's mighty men. There were three that stood out, but we'll continue. 2 Samuel chapter number 23 and verse 8. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. The Bible says this, he lifted up his spear against 800 and he slew them at one time. A spear against 800 men at one time, what would that take? And an immense amount of strength. If you do anything repeated a number of times, no matter how easy the first time is, by the time you do it a number of times, that repetition, it just wears on you. I've read some accounts of battle and how difficult that is and how draining that is to fight hand-to-hand combat. This isn't like he was a good sniper and could pick people off from a distance. A spear in the hand means close personal contact. And at one time, in one battle, he slew 800. An intense amount of strength. That's why he gets listed here. This man was a help to David, helped accomplish that which he was called to do. Hold your hand in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. When I was growing up, there was a... It would not be uncommon to walk into a young person's bedroom or something like that and see banners and posters of maybe people that I just whose names I just read to you. Maybe Larry Bird or Michael Jordan or Troy Aikman or Barry Sanders or somebody. Heroes that you would look at for their accomplishment on a ball field or on a basketball court or something of that significance. Anybody ever do that when you were a kid? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. These are real heroes of the faith. These people, this guy Adino. See, what a strange name. Yeah, if he picks up a spear, I'd run. Able to slew 800 at a time. What incredible amount of strength. So how does someone do that? That's not in their own strength. You understand that? Amen. That's the strength of the Lord. Look at Psalm 27, verse 1. Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, that we would approach life the same way Adino approached 500. Who looks at 500 and go, oh yeah, David, I got this. How about 800? Who looks at 3 and says, all right, I think I can do it? He had a supernatural divine strength about him. An ability to look at the horizon and say, there's 800 guys, there's just one of me. I pity those 800, right? What if we approached our life the same way? Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Hey, when confronted with obstacles, do you cower backwards and fall back? Or do you step up? The Lord is the strength. Hey, if the Lord can equip Adino with supernatural strength, I'm not saying that we go around trying to slay 800 people at a time. You understand what I'm saying? But I am saying that God's strength in us could do things that we ourselves could never do on our own. Adino was someone that we could talk about. He was a mighty man. Go with me back to 2 Samuel chapter number 23. Look at verse 9. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Aholahite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. The Bible says he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord brought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. The story is found in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, if you turn there. They're avenging the death of, or the looting of Ziklag. And as we come into 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse 17, and David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. Who was there that day? Eleazar was there that day. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 23 that he held on to that sword so tight that he couldn't let go when the battle was over. Can we just follow this thought in our mind for a second? Hey, the best thing that you could have in your hand in a spiritual battle is the Word of God. We call it in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 17, the sword of the Spirit. And in the battle, man, what is it that the Lord defeated the devil with when tempted? The Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And when the battle's over, shouldn't that Word of God not just be part of us? Hey, when you go through that battle and you hold on to the Word of God in those difficult spiritual battles, and you hold on so tight that when it's all over, you almost can't let go. It was said of Charles Spurgeon this: to hear him talk was almost to hear the Bible being read. The Word of God was such a part of him. His regular speech, because the Word of God was so into him, that when he spoke, he pretty much spoke verses. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hey, when you're going through a rough time, I'm telling you, there's no comparison between the Word of God and anything else. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Adino was known for his strength. Eleazar was known for his commitment to the sword of the Spirit. He was so committed to the sword that when the battle was over, he couldn't let go. I wonder if the Word of God is that, are we that committed to the Word of God ourselves? Hey, it'll help me through the battle, but then when the battle's over, I'm just going to set it down. No, it ought to become so much a part of us, almost an extension of us. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. I know we have the words here, but I hope in heaven we have video footage. I would just like to see. How does one guy slay 800 men? How is that battle so intense where only a number get away, and it's so intense that when he goes to let go, he can't. Can't even let go of the sword. 2 Samuel chapter 23, I like this guy. Verse 11, and after him was Shammah, son of Agi the Harahite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground. There's a lot of things you could fight for. He must have been a vegetarian. There was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines And the Lord wrought a great victory. Defending the lentil field. So why would anyone do that? Because Shammah had something. See, these were mighty men. Dino had strength. Eliezer had commitment. Shammah had two things. He had heart and he had a cause. I'm going to defend this plateau. I'm going to defend this field for the cause of Christ. Well, not cause of Christ. It would be for Jehovah God. 1 Chronicles chapter number 11. Look here. Look in verse 13. We have a little bit of the story. Say, oh, how great that he defended a lentil field, but there was more to it. Verse 13, he was with David at Pasdamin, and there the Philistines were in 1 Chronicles chapter number 11 and verse 13. And there the Philistines were gathered together to battle. There was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines. Everyone ran away except for one guy. We know that's Shammah. And there they set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistines. And the Bible says, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. There was that point was a convergence of the war and of the battle. And if that field went, they would lose. So to you and I, maybe we look at it and go, it's just a lentil field. We'll let this one go. But that was the turning point. To Shammah, it was something worth fighting for. In Jude 1:3, we are reminded to contend for the faith. There's some things that are worth fighting for. Probably little people sitting in this room are worth fighting for. A church is worth fighting for. The faith is worth fighting for. It's worth standing up to. But is it in your heart? You know, we just sang that song, So Send I You. That's not a happy song. We sing that song. Here's the things that you're going to experience. Here's the things that you're going to give up. It's like, who wants to do that? Well, there's a cause worthwhile. There's a cause. There's a people group that need the gospel. So I guess it is worthwhile of giving up my comforts and giving up my... Hey, Shammah, why would you stand and defend a field of lentils and barley? What's the point? Because there's a cause behind me worth defending. What's the point of saying no to sin because there's little people in our house? What's the point of standing a face like a flint as we preach the number? Because there's a faith worth standing for. You understand that you're standing in the lentil field. You're standing in the barley field. Do you see the cause? Is there a heart in you? Everybody else retreated. Did you see that? And Shammah stood in the field. The Bible says, and the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. He had heart. He had a cause. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. This is an elite group of soldiers. This is what you call special forces. This is Adino and his strength. Eliezer, known for his commitment to the sword. Shammah, his heart and cause. Abishai, 2 Samuel chapter number 23 and verse 18. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, son of Zariah, was chief among three. He lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had the name among three. Look at verse 19. This wasn't a mercenary and a barbarian. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain, howbeit attained not unto the first three. There's something special about Abishai. He had a leadership quality. So as we look at these men, Bible says something special about Abishai. Not only did he have strength, he killed 300 men, but the Bible says that he was most honorable. What does honorable mean? Holding a distinguished rank in society, noble, possessing a high mind, actuated by principles of honor, respected, honest, fair. What a team. And David's like, here he is in his last days. He's thinking about Adino. Killed 800 with a spear. Eleazar, whose hand clung to the sword. You can almost maybe still see Shammah standing in the lentil and barley field defending it. Abishai slew 300, but of most honorable. These were David's mighty men. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 20. Benaiah. He might be one of my favorites. Say, why? Well, we'll read. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. What does that mean? I don't know, but it was worth mentioning. He mentions Adino, who kills 800, Abishai, who kills 300, and he mentions two men that Benaiah kills, but he describes them as lion-like. I have a feeling that was no small task. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. How'd he get in the pit? I don't know. But there Benaiah found himself in a pit at snow time, winter, and there he kills a lion. Good, because he had good practice. He killed two lion-like men. Verse 21, and he slew an Egyptian. So did Moses. A goodly man, and an Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. See, what do you think of that? Awesome. That's what I think of that. Tell me about Benaiah. Courage. Who approaches lion-like men? Who approaches a lion? Go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 11. We'll get a little bit more information about this. And verse 23. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high. How tall is that? 7.5 feet tall. Anybody ever see a Jewish guy? Mr. Bauman, have you ever worked for some Jewish men? No? 7.5 feet tall? I don't know. Yeah. And in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Courage. Who looks at the 7.5 foot tall guy and say, I'll take him? Not only will I take him, I'm going to take his own stick and I'm going to beat him with it. And it's no stick, it's a weaver's beam. Those things are huge. Courage. What kind of people did David surround himself with? Men of strength? Men that were committed to the sword? Men with a heart that were willing to fight for a cause. Men that were most honorable. Men of courage. What a team. We talk about the dream team. David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Larry Bird, Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan. How about Adino? Eleazar, Shammah, Abishai, Benaiah. Say, man, where are the guys like that? 1 Samuel chapter number 21. Where do you find guys like that? Wait, sorry, 1 Samuel 22. In verse 1. In 1 Samuel 21, in verse 10, we see David fleeing for his life. In chapter 22, David therefore departed thence and escaped to a cave of Adullam. When his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. This is where David starts his army. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Say, who was in that group? A guy by the name of Adino, and Eleazar, and Shammah, and Abishai, and Benaiah. Men that were distressed, in debt, discontented, and that lacked a captain. See, if we bring ourselves to the captain of the host, that would be God Himself, with our mess, and we allow the Lord to change us, we too can be men of strength, commitment, heart, honor, courage. Not often do we get to see the finished product. This morning we were talking about sanctification and how important it is to kind of go through that process of where God's got a plan and He's taking us and leading us. But we get discouraged sometimes in ourselves. What can God do with me? Well, look at what David did with some people that were in debt, distressed, and discontented. They end up being His mighty men. You see what happens when we present ourselves to the Lord? He could take our greatest weaknesses and turn them into strengths. He can make us men of strength and commitment and heart. I don't know if there were thieves here, but now they're standing on a plot of ground fighting for a cause. What changed? Spending time with the captain. And I encourage you here tonight. I encourage you. Say, yeah, my life's a mess. Well, why don't you come to the Lord and why don't you let Him help you? Don't go home in distress and in debt and discontented. Why don't you come to God and say, God, here's my mess. What can you do with it? You'd be amazed if you just stick around the captain for a little while what you might turn into. You stick around this thing for a little while and all of a sudden, maybe you too will be someone that's in charge. Someone that has honor and heart and commitment and strength and courage. Because that's what happens when you're around the captain. Let's all stand tonight. I love reading these stories. I could only imagine what it looked like on the battlefield. I'm going to ask you here tonight. I'm going to ask the men. I'm going to ask our young men. Hey, stick around the things of God for a little while. Well, I'm going to go see what the world has to offer. You're wasting your time. Amen. Stick around the things of God for a little while and you'll have a godly strength. I have a commitment to the Word of God. A heart for others and a heart for the cause. Courage. Abishai, most honorable. I'm going to ask our men, our young men. Say, I'm more like the distressed, debt, and discontented. Well, why don't you come and get around the captain for a while? Why don't you stick around the things of God for a little while? It's amazing how you get the Word of God inside of you, and that changes somebody. I'm so thankful for our ladies. I'm not belittling our ladies or your but we need some men that to stand for the faith. We need our young men to make a commitment to the things of God. 20 years, this place is going to look a lot different. I can't imagine what the molding is going to be doing in 20 years. No, you little people are going to be bigger. And some of these older people are going to be done. There's going to be a king sitting back and talking about the good old days, but you know what they needed? They needed another group of people to come through. We need some young people that are just going to say, I'm going to stick around for a while and see this thing through. Some men to stick through, to stick around and establish families and the things of God. Maybe tonight you want to make that commitment. God, it's you and me all the way. If you can take this indebted, distressed, discontented person and turn them into a Nadino or an Eliezer or something like that, I'm in. But would you stick around? Not just at Walker Bible Baptist Church. I'm talking about the faith. God can move people. But how about a commitment to God? There's nothing better out there. The moment the music's going to play, I invite our men to come forward and pray tonight. What our young men need to see is some godly men as examples. We need our young men to make some commitments. Ladies, you pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for these mighty men. God, I pray that middle-aged, older men, that you'd help us to be an example. God, I pray that these young men would get a heart, a desire to serve you. They would act in a strength and an honor that only comes from you. God, help them to have a commitment to your word. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? Where's the commitment? Where's the example? There's no greater cause than the cause of Christ. Come under the captain tonight.